ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text 20. Esha Datta Sharanyascha Yatha Yasina Narashibihi Yashovitanita Svanam Daushantir Iva Yajvanam Esha Datta Sharanyascha Yatha Yashinarashibihi Yashovitanita Svanam Daushantir Iva Yavanam Yajvanam Eshaha. This child, Data, donor in charity, Sharanyaha, protector of the surrendered, Cha, and Yatta, as he certainly, Oshinaraha, the country named as Ushinara, Shibihi, Shibi, Yashaha, fame, Vitanita, Disseminator, Svanam, of the kinsmen, Doshanti Iva, like Bharata, the son of Dushyanta, Yajvanam, of those who have performed many sacrifices. Translation, nice two-page purport here. The child will be a munificent donor of charity and protector of the surrendered, like the famous King Shibi of the Ushinara country. And he will expand the name and fame of his family like Bharata, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta. The speakers are the Brahmanas, and they're speaking about the child that's just been born, Maharaj Parikshit. By examining his horoscope, they're describing what his life will be like in his mature stage. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A king becomes famous by his acts of charity, performances of yajñas, protection of the surrendered, etc. A kshatriya king is proud to give protection to the surrendered souls. This attitude of a king is called Ishvara Bhava, or factual power to give protection in a righteous cause. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord instructs the living beings to surrender unto him, and he promises all protection. The Lord is all-powerful and true to his word, and therefore he never fails to give protection to his different devotees. The king, being the representative of the Lord, must possess this attitude of giving protection to the surrendered souls at all risk. Maharaj Shibi, the king of Ushinara, was an intimate friend of Maharaj Yayati, who was able to reach the heavenly planets along with Maharaj Shibi. Maharaj Shibi was aware of the heavenly planet, where he was to be transferred after his death, and the description of this heavenly planet is given in Mahabharata Adiparva. Maharaj Shibi was so charitably disposed that he wanted to give over his acquired position in the heavenly kingdom to Yayati. But Yayati did not accept it. Yayati went to the heavenly planet along with great rishis like Ashtaka and others. On inquiry from the rishis, Yayati gave an account of Shibi's pious acts when all of them were on the path to heaven. Like, hey, Shibi's really a great soul. Shibi has become a member of the assembly of Yamaraj, who has become his worshipful deity. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, the worshipper of the demigods goes to the planets of the demigods, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. So, Maharaj Shibi became an associate of the great Vaishnav authority, Yamaraj, on that particular planet. While he was on the earth, he became very famous as a protector of surrendered souls and a donor of charities. And here's the famous Shibi story. When you hear Shibi, this is it. The king of heaven once took the shape of a pigeon hunter bird or an eagle. And Agni, the fire god, took the shape of a pigeon. The pigeon, while being chased by the eagle, took shelter on the lap of Maharaj Shibi, and the hunter eagle wanted the pigeon back from the king. The king wanted to give it some other meat to eat and requested the bird not to kill the pigeon. The hunter bird refused to accept the king's offer. But it was settled later on that the eagle would accept flesh from the body of the king of the pigeon's equivalent weight. The king began to cut flesh from his body to weigh in the balance equivalent to the weight of the pigeon. But the mystic pigeon always remained heavier. The king then put himself on the balance to equate with the pigeon. And the demigods were pleased with him. The king of heaven and the fire god disclosed their identity, and the king was blessed by them. Devarshi Narada also glorified Maharaj Shibi for his great achievements, especially in charity and protection. Maharaj Shibi sacrificed his own son for the satisfaction of human beings in his kingdom, and thus child Parikshit was to become a second Shibi in charity and protection. Then there's a final section about Dushyantir. So, Dushyantir. Doshyanti Bharat. A little biographical sketch about the son of Dushyanta, who is also named Bharat. So, there are many Bharats in history, of which Bharata, the brother of Lord Ram, Bharata, the son of King Rishabdev, and Bharata, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta, there's three Bharatas, are all very famous. And all these Bharatas are historically known to the universe. The planet Earth is known as Bharata, or Bharata Varsha, due to King Bharata, the son of Rishabdev. But according to some, this land is known as Bharata due to the reign of the son of Dushyanta. So far as we are convinced, this land's name, Bharatvarsha, was established by the reign of Bharata, the son of King Rishabdev. Before him, the land was known as Ilavrata Varsha, but just after the coronation of Bharata, the son of Rishabdev, the land became famous as Bharata Varsha. Final paragraph. But despite all of this, Bharata, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta, was not less important. He is the son of the famous beauty Shakuntala. Maharaj Dushyanta fell in love with Shakuntala in the forest, and Bharata was conceived. After that, Maharaj Dushyanta forgot his wife Shakuntala by the curse of Kanva Muni. And the child, Bharata, was brought up in the forest by his mother. Even in his childhood, he was so powerful that he challenged the lions and elephants in the forest and would fight with them as little children will play with cats and dogs. Listen to this. Because of the boys becoming so strong, more than the so-called modern Tarzan, there you go. The rishis in the forest called him Sarvadamana, or one who is able to control everyone. A full description of Maharaj Bharat is given in Mahabharat Adi Parva. Final sentence. Very interesting. The Pandavas or the Kurus are sometimes addressed as Bharata due to their being born in the dynasty of the famous King Bharata, the son of King Dushyanta. So many references of, O son of Bharata. This is this Doshyantir eva Yajvanam, or Dushyanta, Maharaj Dushyanta, whose son was Bharata. Jnana Timurandasya Yananjana Sadakaya Chakshoda Miritam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhuttare Svayam Rupa Katamayam Dadati Svam Pradantika. So we're continuing to hear in the storyline the qualities of Maharaj Parikshit. And in the application of the storyline, what are the qualities of a leader, specifically a king? But as we were discussing yesterday, anyone that's going to be a leader, and devotees just happen to be in that position just by being devotees. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tat evi tarojana. This verse means, Shreshta means the best. And Tat-tat evitarorjana, the people in general, by nature, it's not like somebody said it had to be that way other than it's just Krishna's design, but it's just how things are in the world. There's someone who's a leader, it's just like watch children playing. And as children are playing, you know, one child goes this way, the whole group of kids go following the child that goes this way, and he goes that way, the whole kids go following. It's just amongst a group, there's someone who's a leader. And the others are followers. And the quality of the person who's the leader determines the quality of the followers. And so it's very important in the process of education, training devotees, because devotees, by spiritual standard, by spiritual evolution, are to be first-class citizens. Prabhupada described like that about the Hare Krishna movement. In the absence of qualified brahmanas, Prabhupada wanted that this would be the institution, the Hare Krishna movement. You know, this is the school. We're attending school right now. This is the school for becoming a first-class citizen. Meaning, a Vaishnav. Because Vaishnav means it's the mature fruit of Brahmana. Brahmana means one who knows Brahman, and the mature fruit of knowing Brahman is to know the personality of Godhead, Parabrahman. And not only know, but act of the quality and character of one who is a devotee of the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead. So this is our classroom. And our life and devotion is also the laboratory of life. And so this is the theoretical, and life is the laboratory, where we're learning how to become Shrestha, leaders with quality, because that's what Vaishnavas are supposed to do. By example, show this is how to live your life in relation to the personality of Godhead. And some people will say, like, how do you do it? So that young student was asking, how do you do it? Like, you know, how do you do it? How do you start your day? And then you're moving about with people that are, his language was, they just watch too much television. And so even their vocabulary is just cliches that they hear on television, and it's so shallow and superficial, and like, how do you deal with that when you're trying to be Shrestha? At least, you know, a little bit. So there's theory, how to, and then far better than theory is example. Prabhupada said of these two, precept and example. Precept is theory, and example is, here it is. And of the two, example is stronger, because embedded within the example is the precept. But then it's like, here it is. Like, how do you do it? Well, theoretically, ABC, and over here, here's ABC in real life. So devotees are meant to gyanam vigyanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. We're meant to understand the scripture, but far more than understanding the scripture is, real understanding is demonstrated by you live it. It's like it goes inside and it becomes your life. Inside then comes outside. How you speak and how you walk, how you sit, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What do you do when you're by yourself? How do you behave and how do you speak? What's the character of one who's self-realized, or at least cultivating self-realization? That's our education. And Prabhupada would challenge, where is that institution? Anywhere else in the world where they teach, just for starters, you're not this body. Where is that? Where real identity is spirit soul, and stay there and don't like go off into la-la land about so many theoretical things. We're not this body, we're spirit soul. And then act accordingly. These days, as I travel, I'm getting asked more than in the past, What's this mark on your forehead? So a nice answer, in case people ask you that question, nice answer is, Prabhupada, our spiritual master taught us that the body is a temple of God. The Bible teaches the body is a temple of God, or that means within the body there's a form of God. The kingdom of God is within you in the language of the Bible. So they go, oh yes, the kingdom of God is within you. So this is to remind us of the fact that the body is God's temple, because inside is God. And the marking is just like, you know, on a church, you have a cross, or on a mosque, you have a whatever they have, it's a marking. Or a temple, it's a chakra. So this is the temple marking that says this body is a temple of God. And they go, oh, that's nice. But then take it one more step and say, so the real challenge is not just to, like, say the body is a temple of God, but to act that way. That means whatever goes into the temple and comes out of the temple should be godly. You know, when you go to church, you know, just keep, depending on the person, you can keep going. When you go to church, what's it like? You're on the best behavior. You don't, you know, talk business or golf or, you know, social stuff. You're reverent because you're in the church or in the synagogue or in the temple. And when you go outside, you do whatever you do. That's the secular view anyway. And so what goes in this body should be godly. And what comes out of the body by action and by word should be godly. So this is a reminder of that. They go, oh. And then they ask another question, like, you know, just kind of in one ear and out the other ear. Because it's just curiosity. They're not really interested in, you know, residing in a godly life. But anyway, that's a nice answer. It marks the body as a temple of God. And then we should behave accordingly. Do you treat the body? And what's inside in that consciousness? Because we all know that, but we just forget. So this is just a reminder. And when others see it, it's to remind them, your body is also a temple of God. It's nice to remind people that their body is a temple of God. So, the qualities of a leader. We're trying to become devotees, and what are qualities that we should look to manifest, not just behaviors, but qualities, because behaviors come out of qualities. And if there's quality, if there's real quality, then there's consistent behavior. And if it's not real quality, then we make a mental adjustment, and sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't, sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't, sometimes we do, and a lot of times we don't. Because it's just which way the mind is oriented, or which way the wind is blowing. Or like, what's circumstantially prompting me to remember and what's circumstantially prompting me to forget? And it's not something that's from the heart level. So real quality is what's important. Character and quality. Education means character development. Prabhupada taught like that. When describing what schools should be, what Gurukula should be, it's for building character. Not just ABCs and math and science, it's character. Because when you have character, then whatever ABC or math or science someone has, it's used in the right way. And if they don't have character, whatever ABC, science, and math they have, trust that it'll be used in some harmful way, foolish way, detrimental way. And that's our education today. No character, so it's chaos. A lot of smart people running around doing chaotic things with all the smartness that they have, with no tempering of how it's used. I got just one example that just came to my attention. I didn't know that they could do this, but for international communications, there's Skype. Somebody is on Skype in another place, and you're on Skype over here. You can have a free call, international call. That's nice. But then they can have Skype chats, and now they have this way of sending unmentionable yucky stuff on a Skype spam. And something appears on your screen, and it's, oh my God, close the screen. Just because somebody took something that's of, you know, that's useful and has perverted it. I guess they'll get spam filters or something to stop people from doing that, but right now it's, they don't have it. So, education is not just knowing how to do things. Education is development of character. And Vaishnavas are meant to develop ideal character. So here's some items of ideal character for one who is a leader, a Shrestha. Three things are mentioned. One is Da-ta, Asha. Da-ta, Asha is a pronoun referring to this child. Da-ta. He'll be a donor in charity. Donor in charity. So, those who have piety will naturally have some kind of asset. Maybe lesser, maybe greater, but some kind of asset. Now, how do you use it? Should be used in the mode of goodness, kind of charity. Because in Bhagavad Gita we learn there's charity in ignorance, there's charity in passion, there's charity in goodness. So one who's properly trained, they know where charity should be given in the mode of goodness. And they not only know they should do it, they do it. They do it regularly. When there's something that should be done, here's like a something that I learned as a teenager, even before Krishna consciousness. If there's something that's good, you should do it regularly. Not every now and then do, like in New York City, there was a poster, a billboard campaign, commit a random act of kindness. If kindness is something that's good, do it regularly. Regularly, because it's good. You know, exercise. What's exercise that, you know, once a month I'll exercise? It's something that's regular. A little regular makes the difference. Or, you know, take a bath. Okay, once a week I'll take a bath. It's something that's regular. You know, something that's good, you do it regularly. You want to become good at playing mridanga or something. You practice regularly. Regularly. So, charity is also something that should be regular. I don't know if you have this. Yes, you do have this system here. We have you have a monthly donor program. The principle is charity that's regular. It can be done, you know, once a year. That's also regular. On Janmashtami, something. But it's a principle. It's not just, you know, the temple needs some money, so feel sorry for the temple and give some charity. That's called charity in the mode of passion. And maybe a little bit of goodness, but because, you know, the poor temple, they need some money. It's not the temple needs money. We need to give, and we need to be charitable, in principle. And whatever the amount is, the amount should be commensurate with what you can do, but the amount is not the issue. It's the principle. It promotes goodness to be charitable. The opposite promotes passion. I'll hold on to it. And some people think, oh, okay, well, when I get rich, then I'll start being charitable. But the principle should be, you know, from the very beginning. You have 2 cents, you know, something should be given. Just because it's principle. And when you have more, you can give more. You give 3 cents. Or whatever your capacity is, but something in principle, not later when they become settled and set up, and I've got what I need, then I can start thinking about being charitable. One thing's like that, that never happens. And if it does, it's done, if it's given begrudgingly. Or calculatingly, okay, now this is going to help my piety, I'll give something and I'll get 100 times back. It's the wrong thinking. That's mode of passion. So it should be mode of goodness, regular. So, Shibi was charitable. We just heard the story. It's connected in the purport and in this narration. It's connected to protector of the surrendered. Sharanyaha, as in Sharana, Sharanagati, the surrender. So the protector of the surrendered. So Shibi was a king, and he was known, great reputation for being very charitable and a protector of the surrendered. So the demigods wanted to show the glory, just as they similarly with Ranti Dev, his capacity to sacrifice for others, for his citizens. So the pigeon and the eagle. The pigeon landed on his lap, and the eagle wanted the pigeon. Can't have the pigeon. I want the pigeon. I'll give you something else. No, I don't want something else. I want the pigeon. I'll give my own flesh. Okay, it's a deal. Put the an equal amount, and the pigeon kept getting heavier and heavier by mystic power, and put himself on the scale. Take me. Save the pigeon. This goes back to the previous understanding of yesterday's verse. Partha prajavita sakshat. Avita is maintainer, and praja is those who take birth. So Krishna, here's the connection. Krishna, remember this from yesterday, he's the father of all living entities, just like some here are mothers and fathers. And your children don't have to ask you, Mommy, Daddy, can you protect me? I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat? It's cold out. Can I have a sweater? The parents are anticipating all those things, and they provide. And so Krishna, being the father of all living entities, provides for all living entities, even the rebellious ones. He provides. And the king, the representative of Krishna, should do the same. So someone takes shelter, the king gives protection. As best as he can. Because we're not God. We can't, like, take away a problem if someone's got a problem. But we can extend our protection as best we can. So this is an extreme example. Cut off his own flesh. Take my body instead of the pigeon's body. Who's going to do that? Marashibi was going to do that. And this is also the explicit character of Maharish Prikshit. He was ready to, in protection of the cow, later in this first canto, word came to Maharish Prikshit because he was in his palace, because he didn't have to go all over the place, because he was such a pious king, such a virtuous person. No one would dare even think of doing some heinous thing. But when he heard there's someone doing a heinous thing, they're breaking the legs of a bull in the guise of a king, he was, Bhagavatam describes, he was simultaneously very angry and elated. elated because he's a king. He likes a fight, and there's no one to fight because everyone's obedient. Now here's Bhagavan being disobedient. It's an opportunity to fight. He's chivalrous. So he gathered his army and went on tour. And as he went, nice description, he would go from kingdom to kingdom. And as he went into the next kingdom, he was received with such affection. And all the bards, meaning the Brahminical group that were expert in histories, just like on our way to the university yesterday, we passed by the State of Missouri Museum. Big, huge place. So instead of spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to build this big museum, the Vedic system was they had brahmanas that would narrate the history. And then they had big functions, and the big functions, the bards would come and they would narrate. So he wanted to hear the history of the Pandavas, who were his grandparents. And in hearing the glories of the Pandavas and their intimate relationship with Krishna, he was experiencing ecstatic love of God, because that was his quality, his pure devotee, hearing Krishna and the Pandavas. And then he handsomely rewarded the bards. So the brahmanas had the proper engagement. They weren't glorifying whatever the latest is. We have a disgusting culture. Because God consciousness is like off the map. You know, the latest football, the sports thing, or some movie or something. And then somebody becomes a big hero and everybody goes out and glorifies or criticizes. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So Vedic culture was different, and Maharaj Pariksit was very charitable. And when the personality of Kali was challenged, it was fair. He asked, he had a little trial right on the spot. My dear Bull, this man here is holding a stick, a club, and he looks to me like he's beating your legs. Is he the perpetrator? And then we have all this philosophical thing. Well, who can say, the cause of one's suffering? Some say it's the providence, some say it's one's karma, some say it's the stars, some say it's the demigods, some say, who can say what is the cause of one's suffering? But Kali saw his number's up, so he surrendered. And because he surrendered to Maharaj Pariksit, it's the duty of the king, for one who surrenders unto the king, to give protection. Even he's a rascal. Please give me protection. So a pigeon gets protection and a rascal gets protection, and in an appropriate manner, commensurate with one's position, the surrendered soul. Why? Because Krishna is the protector of the surrendered soul. And the king, it's not his own ego, okay, you surrender to me, so I'll let you go this time. But it's service as an instrument to Krishna. That's how a qualified person thinks. They're the servant, the instrument of the Lord's will. What's important is not what I think. What's important is the Lord's will. And what I think should be what the Lord's will is. That's the symptom of surrender. And one who surrenders unto the king should be afforded protection. And conversely, the opposite number is one who challenges the authority of the king that needs to be addressed in an appropriate manner. because it's challenging the authority of the Supreme. If the king is a qualified king, one is actually acting in a role as a leader in a proper manner. It becomes, you know, the application of this principle can be very delicate. Different circumstances are so different. We're just speaking now principle. The principle is protection, and the previously mentioned was chastisement. Like you were asking, what's upstart mean? Upstart means, you know, when you say to somebody, "My dear child, can you stop disrupting class?" And the child says, "No." Upstart. If you don't want to behave in class, there's the door. No. So upstarts need to be dealt with. So there's the act of the king to correct the upstarts and to give protection to the surrendered. Pritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam. That's the principle. And an interesting point is how Prabhupada defines Ishwara Bhav. Like I learned that very early in my Krishna consciousness experience. Ishwara Bhav, like somebody who thinks that they're a controller. They go around, you know, ordering everybody. That's what I learned Ishwara Bhav means. Somebody thinks, "I'm the controller, look out, here I come." Well, that person's got Ishwara Bhav. But what Prabhupada is saying is, in its proper application, it's good. It's not just like, you know, macho thing. It has its pure position. The pure position is factual power to give protection to a righteous cause. Like that was the argument that Krishna was giving to Arjuna. And similarly, after the Kurukshetra battle was being described to Maharaj Yudhisthira, what you did, or what Krishna wanted Arjuna to do, was righteous. It's not just, "Oh, I don't want to fight," or "I want to fight." It's not, you know, what I want or don't want. It's what's righteous. And then you act righteously or virtuously or according to the codes of theistic order, you do that. Not out of ego or not out of some, you know, denial of what the order that Krishna wants is, the order of society. But as an instrument, as a servant. And when one's a kshatriya, one has to be powerful. That power isn't always exhibited by going around knocking people around, but one has to be possessing that quality. So it's only used, power is only used and, like, you know, and exhibited when it's required. And otherwise, it's just one needs to possess that quality, factually. That's Ishwara Bhav in its proper application. Not just somebody that's bossy and goes around telling everybody what to do. Protection. And protection according to theistic cause, that's the proper application. And once again, to reiterate something that Prabhupada says, it's the king has to be thinking in terms of the wish of Krishna to give protection. And I'm his servant. And so, on his order, as an instrument of the will of the Supreme Lord, I must act. Not independently. I must. So, the whole monarchy system, needless to say, is gone. Or only vestiges that are meaningless are remaining. And why that happened is because kings didn't have the quality. They had the position without the quality, and they were abusive, licentious, and crazy. And it was like extended periods of time. I don't know the European history. Prabhupada knew his European history. He mentioned King somebody or other, King James or King somebody or other, was beheaded because he was such a rascal. He's the king, and he lost his head. And people just became tired of it. Forget this. Let's have another system. So the other system became, you know, democracy. We'll vote on who our king is. We still don't have qualified kings. We'll vote on him. The problem isn't solved because you still don't have a quality person. The problem is there's not proper training to develop that quality. The potential quality is there. Souls have that potential quality. But where's the training to bring that quality out? You know, like in any one of us. Whatever capacity we have, it has to be brought out. And therein lies a type of protection. Where there's proper training, that's protection. And when one doesn't have to, practically speaking, you can go anywhere and be protected if you're properly trained, because you're not entertaining, oh, that looks like some nice sense gratification over there. I've never tried that one out. Let me go check it out. You don't think that way because you're protected by quality. Nor do you go and, you know, yell at people. Because that's not going to produce change. Because there's quality, one can understand how to bring about change. And that was one of the things this student was asking last night. And the one that came up the time before. How to bring social change. You can't bring about change without being an agent of change, without being pure, without being the conduit or the transparent medium for Krishna's potency, Krishna's purity, Krishna's power to come through. Then you can be an agent for change. You just get your ego out of the way and be an agent for change. Mentioned here about Shibi is he attained the heavenly, he was so charitable, he attained a heavenly kingdom, and his friend Yayati hadn't attained the heavenly kingdom, so he made the offer, here, you take my position in heaven and I'll come back. He said, no. Very charitable of you, but same when Dasarath was passing through the forest again and again and again, when he met sages, they were just waiting for him to come. And when he came, their offer was, please, all the pious activities and austerities and everything that we've done of merit, we want to gift all of that to you. You take it. And his reply was, thanks, but no thanks. That would be inappropriate. You're a brahmana. I should be offering service unto you. I'm the son of Dasarath. I should be giving charity to you. And I, as far as merit, I should earn my own merit. He would speak like that. But a brahmana is very liberal. They want to give whatever they have. And what does the brahmana have? The wealth, Prabhupada taught like this, the wealth of a brahmana is their austerity. The wealth of a king is his, as mentioned here, his disposition of charity and his performance of yajnas. Because he has wealth, a king has a treasury, he would use that treasury to perform yajnas, which requires wealth. So it's the merit that comes from the yajna that would be the merit of the king, the wealth of the king. The vaishya is his grains or similar other kinds of the products of his trade and commerce. But the wealth of the brahmana, it sounds like contradictory. The wealth of the brahmana was what he didn't have, or his Sudama. He was so poor, but he had such a treasure. His austerity, or Kolavecha Shridhar, associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so poor that he had, as a place of residence, a straw house without a roof. Just a scanty little roof. And, you know, the water would leak because it rains. Water would leak through. What's the use of a roof where the water leaks through? So Mahaprabhu would tease him and say, you know, why are you worshipping Ganges? Why don't you worship Durga? People have worshipped Durga. They have nice houses with nice roofs. You don't even have a roof. Look at your clothes. There's more rips and tears than there is clothes. Why are you so impoverished? Kulavich or Shidhar would say, I'm not impoverished. I have what I need. And who can say? A king lives in a big palace and a bird lives in a bird nest. They have their place. I have my place. I'm satisfied. I have what I require. And then Mahaprabhu would say, you're a big miser. You have this huge treasure and I know about your huge treasure and I'm going to expose it to everybody. But I'll do that later. Now I want you to give some banana leaves. Free. I'm a Brahmin. You should give in charity. Stop teasing. My dear sir, this is not proper. How can I give to everybody? I have to have something. Well, give me at least a fair price. And like that, just teasing. So the wealth of the brahmana is austerity, because with that austerity comes detachment from this world and attachment to sat, attachment to that, to Brahman, to that which is eternal. That's the wealth of a brahmana. So the king would give his wealth in other forms and be very charitable. And a leader, a proper behaviored Vaishnav, should be charitable. With whatever it is that one has at one's disposal, be very charitable. So Prabhupada writes, a king becomes famous for that. And Vinyata Shibhi was famous for that. And lastly, this name Bharata. So this is a Mahabharata description. I don't know so much about Maharaj Dushyanta other than what's written here. I've heard the same other times. A king was in the forest, he saw a heavenly maiden Shakuntala, and whoa, he fell in love with Shakuntala. Next thing you know, there's a child. And Rishi Kanva came to know, what kind of king, look at your behavior, I curse you. This so-called love that you have, I curse you that you'll just forget. And so he forgot. Amnesia or something. And so Shakuntala was there to take care of the child, but the child was this very, very amazing child with such strength that even as a child he would just play with lions and elephants and toss them around like cats and dogs. Child playing with little house pets. So he became very famous, like Tarzan, living in the forest. And the Pandavas were in that line somehow. I don't know the detail from Mahabharata. Okay. Any discussion?
inspirational and I take a look. There's a lot of other things that are passing while you're speaking. I mean, mentioned last night also there was one, the girl who was sitting on the corner.
Yes, yes.
She came and asked me, what's this pain to me?
And I
gave the response that I heard from you. Me in the airport, the same thing, but the temple of God, and we try to remind ourselves that this is God is within us, and so. And she responded to that really nicely. She said, "Oh, that's really nice." And then she asked her questions exactly like you would say. So nice. And then she said, "Oh, I want to learn about Vedas and so forth." And kind of like,
as Prabhupada said, in general, people are innocent. Now, to some degree, they're jaded. Like, they've been misled and cheated so many times, it's like, you know, they don't want to trust anybody. But in general, people are innocent. And if given something genuine, this is what I said to the young man, the main responsibility is be genuine. Don't be phony. And if you're genuine, then it's going to act. You know, it may take some time for people to believe, you know, is it real? Is it genuine? But if you're just consistent in your interactions with people in the workplace and out there, and where you're moving around, that people are, you know, it's too much television and stuff, just continue to be genuine and it'll have its impact. Okay, any other? Yes. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, in one of your lectures I was hearing about this training we need like to become spiritually perfect. So in that you were talking about this Bhauma Leela, like even in the Goloka Vrindavan, training is given like to Siddha, Nitya Siddhika, this training to be Sadhana Siddhika.
I heard the first part, and about the last half I missed. So say it slower and clearer. Don't repeat the first part.
Okay. It's even in the Goloka Vrindavan.
Goloka Vrindavan, okay.
Nitya Siddhika gives training to
Sadhana. Yeah, okay. You want to hear more about that? You ready? Getting warmed up? It's only what I heard Prabhupada say, so I can't elaborate beyond what Prabhupada said. What Prabhupada said was, when one attains the level of spiritual perfection, that one is entitled to go to Krishna, before you go to Krishna Loka, you enter into Krishna's Bhauma Leela. That is, somewhere in creation, Krishna is performing his pastimes, always, because his pastimes are eternal. You with me? He would give the example, somewhere in the world the sun is rising. Somewhere in the world the sun is setting. The sun is always rising, the sun is always setting somewhere. Like that, not the same, but like that, Krishna's pastimes are eternal. Somewhere in the creation, Krishna is appearing. And Krishna is appearing, and Krishna is appearing, like the sun is always rising. Krishna's pastimes are eternal. He used the phrase like a spool, like thread, or sometimes like the old system of film. It was on a spool. You ran the film through the projector, and so the spool. And it would just continue to play the spool of Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna's pastimes are eternal. And somewhere where Krishna is performing his eternal pastimes, those perfected souls would join Krishna's roadshow. Prabhupada used that phrase, roadshow. Like a circus or something. A Broadway musical that they would travel and perform different places in our modern context. So they would join Krishna's roadshow, and amongst those associates of Krishna, there are eternally perfected souls, nitya-siddha personalities. part of Krishna's abode where Krishna's performing his pastimes. And some would be the newcomers, those who are to be trained how to enter into Krishna's eternal pastimes. So they would be assigned or be designated to work under, be trained by the Nityasittas. And it's not like, you know, some necessarily time-bound thing, but upon completion of that training, they would then go to Goloka Vrindavan. But in Goloka Vrindavan, Prabhupada's point was that things are not static. Okay, now I've arrived and I've got my graduation certificate, so now I just go to work every day. Not like that. It's dynamic. And in that dynamic atmosphere, one's expanding service and consciousness requires some further training, although one is in the spiritual world. That's the picture that Prabhupada gave. It's eternal. So what we're doing now, it's not like, when can I graduate? It's eternal. This exchange of growing in one's loving relationship with Krishna. And Krishna makes arrangements for that to happen, as he's doing now. Next, next, next. It's part of the dynamic of a relationship with Krishna. So, you as a parent, you have some responsibility to offer training. And you in turn are to be further trained and further trained and further trained. So it's like an ongoing, when spiritual elevation is operative, it's dynamic, not static. You reach a certain position and it's a plateau. It's just like, okay, coast. Relax. Take a vacation. Complacency. No complacency. No vacation. Who wants a vacation from devotional service? What's that? That's called Maya. We want to forever grow. And forever grow. And forever grow. And so there's nurturing components for that growth. We call that training. Give it another name if you like, but that's... And there's always awaiting us, when we're ready, Krishna's ready, to give us more. We just have to have our receiver on instead of off to receive that mercy that Krishna wants to give us. Anything else? Yes?
I'm not just trying to connect the verse, or what I noticed was Data and Yajna, the qualities of being charitable and performing sacrifices, these are the qualities of the king or administrator.
Yeah.
There are also two of the three primary qualities of the Grahastha that Sri Prabhupada elaborates on in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita.
Very nice. Charitable, those who are surrendered, give protection, performance of sacrifice. Look at that. So that's what a grihastha is supposed to be doing for the whole rest of society. And it's not begrudging. Oh, I've got to do all that. What about everybody else? It's not fair. Then that's begrudging charity in a begrudging mood. It's in the mood of ignorance. Charity in a calculating mood. If I do these duties, I'm going to get some perks. That's mode of passion. Doing because I ought to do it. It's my duty. A mode of goodness. And doing for Krishna is transcendental. So this is like, here it is. This is the definition. of, but it's not only for grihasthas, it's for those who are, as we've been saying, it's for those who are kings and those who are leaders and those who are quality, character-driven personalities. It's just what you do. It's this symptom of equality attached to Krishna, wanting to serve Krishna. Yes.
Right, I have an appreciation to offer. I've heard the story of Kulavecchi Sridhar from you so many times in Mayapur and in recorded lectures and in person. And I'm just appreciating how hearing the pastimes of and loving exchanges of the Lord with such sweet and simple devotees is breaking through, you know, my heart. And that quality of Kulavecchi Sridhar being satisfied and, you know, he had materially nothing. And
nothing.
He was totally satisfied, not wanting anything. That quality is just so inspiring, Maharaj. The spiritual principle is working, you know, in my life as far as my heart is open. So it's a faith builder, and I want to thank you very much for sharing this story.
Well, it's here's how it's possible. And then we can say, minus this, it's impossible. It's possible because of a being feeling so full of satisfaction that stuff is not even considered. It's not a consideration. Something outside is not going to bring happiness for one who is full inside. If you're not full inside, the nature of the soul is we want happiness, and so you look for it outside. But it never brings happiness. Never, 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 never has, never will, isn't at the present, never. And that's what people are madly chasing after, the happiness of never. And they're frustrated. And so when they're frustrated, they act out. You know, anger, frustration, quarrel, hypocrisy, stealing, no character, lawlessness, cruel, mean, insensitive, because they've been cheated. And when they're offered the genuine thing, the answer is no, it's not something out there, I don't want it. But, you know, it's really what you want. No, I don't want it. Leave me alone. Get out of here. Get a job. Etc. Yes? We can't imitate. We shouldn't go, you know, finding stray dogs and offering obeisances. The principle that we can follow is offering respect. And it should be genuine. The respect goes to the soul. And when the soul is attracted to Krishna, special respect. We honor all these souls who are attracted to Krishna. They should be honored. And regardless of their age, regardless of their color or culture or background or education or birth or anything, they're attracted to Krishna. And that expression of that attraction to Krishna is going to come out in different ways. And that's nice. It's nice. And when that respect and honor is genuine, this was our topic last night. You know, that's called a pure relationship, as opposed to an impure type of relationship where people want to bond with one another and, you know, like hang out and bond. you know, fall into Maya together without going to the spiritual platform. And how can we go to the spiritual platform? Linus Krishna, what's that? It's a hallucination, a wishful thinking at best. And then the challenge, how do we, like this student last night, how do you get there, and then how do you help other people get there? Well, let's start with, let's get there. Let's be genuine. Be the real deal. Be genuinely connecting in our relationship with Krishna. And when that's genuine, the message I gave him is automatically it's going to have an impact on people around you. You don't even have to say anything. It's going to impact people around you. You're carrying that. It's powerful. Purity is power. Purity is the force, bro. That's our teaching. You want to move, physics, you want to move this object from here to here. You have to apply a force. You can, do your calculations so much, then it'll move. Gravity and blah, 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 blah. So what's the force that moves a heart? It's purity. Okay, where do I get some purity? I haven't seen anything on the internet lately advertising. Purity for sale. Just click on the... It doesn't come that way. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Shri Rupa Swami Maharaj.